KHOI, Story City, Ames.
Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events of our central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in. I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with engineer and station manager Mike Murphy. And we also have KHOI's very own Sam Wormley, and he has some important information he'll be sharing with us throughout the program. Well, we start out the day with mostly sunny skies and gusty winds with near record high temperatures. We could get up to high 90s, 98 degrees is predicted. Winds will be from the south-southeast, or south-southwest, pardon me, at 20 to 30 miles per hour. And this evening we're going to see scattered thunderstorm possibilities, then mainly cloudy overnight, with continued thunderstorms likely. The potential for severe thunderstorms is high. The low this evening will be around 70 degrees with winds out of the southwest. And folks, we've got heat warnings on today, so please, if you have to be outside, take frequent breaks. Find cool places to take that rest. Stay hydrated, and that means water or something like that. Lemonade. And if you have critters outside, make sure you tend to them. Make sure they've got some shade, moving air, and plenty of water. And I'd like to introduce our first guest is Story County Outreach Communications Coordinator and first time on our program, Casey Stricker. Welcome, Casey. Well, as we're getting Casey ready here, Casey, if you can try to rejoin us. Sam, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear us. I can hear everybody on the radio waves. I can hear everybody locally.
You're here today with some messages for our listeners.
Yes, Mike. And, you know, I really want to say good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to all of you KHOI listeners. Mike, I enjoy listening to the nationally syndicated programs for community radio stations such as Democracy Now!, Letters in Politics, and the programs from the Planetary Society. And additionally, there are all those programs from people I know and respect. Mary Richards reading from the community bookshelf, Don Alana about food and cooking and local agriculture, Baroque and Beyond with Michael White, Bob's 8-track garage sale program. These programs are from people that I know, people that I talk to and that I respect. Why do they do it? Well, it's a lot of work and they don't get paid. They produce programs for community radio to give to you, to give to all of us, local musicians, artists, folks passionate about life giving to our local community and beyond. And I give financially, and I even volunteer, because this is radio at its best. Listeners can go to our KHOI website, khoifm.org, and press the donate button. Or they can call 515-292-2878. And a friendly volunteer will talk them through the steps of making a contribution. Basic contributions start at $60 or about 16 cents a day. But, you know, people should really give whatever they want to however they feel about supporting their community radio station. So I encourage listeners to support your local radio station. This is a station from people from the community like you, for the community like you. Again, call 515-292-2878. Somebody friendly will answer the phone and talk you through the steps.
Well, okay, thank
you,
Sam.
Or you can go directly on site, khoifm.org, and press the donate button.
Thank you for that message, Sam. Casey is back with us. I'll try the introduction again. She's the Story County Conservation Outreach and Communications Coordinator. Welcome, Casey.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Okay, great.
We certainly can. And Casey, you're relatively new in this position. Could you tell our listeners just a little bit about you, maybe a little bit about your background before we get into the month calendar?
Yes. So originally, I grew up in Davenport, Iowa. I went to Simpson College for environmental science. In the last 10 years, I've been traveling the country doing conservation work. Anything from researching coyotes in Nevada to prairie restorations in Minnesota. I spent several years in downtown Chicago leading environmental education for the public schools. And I was also in Michigan for the last 5 years doing outreach for a local land conservancy there. What brought me back to Iowa was my family and I were always looking to move back, be closer to family, and the Story County conservation position opened, and it was a perfect fit for me.
Yeah, we're really glad to have you in that position, and it's probably going to be a little bit difficult for you. Of course, being from Iowa, you would know that our local town, Nevada, is pronounced that way, but it must have been rough when you went out to Nevada for a few years.
Right, yes. That always does confuse other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get right down to the county conservation calendar. Why don't you go ahead and highlight a few items that our listeners would need to know about coming up in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, so I'll start with a few open public programs, and then I can jump into some summer kids camps. Upcoming in June, we do have, if anyone is interested in learning how to use stand-up paddle boards, we have a program for introductory to stand-up paddle boards. This is Monday, June 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Hickory Grove Park. So this class is all about how to use the stand-up paddle board, and you'll have a teacher to help you with that. Program is for adults 18 and older, and it does cost $15.
Okay.
In our July programs, we have a few that are open. We have one called Slingshot Survival, where kids 9 and up will get to learn how to use slingshots, and then they'll get to hunt for wooden animal blocks. That is on Wednesday, July 6th, and there are 3 different time slots at McFarland Park, and the cost is $7. And if anyone is interested in learning how to be an insect scientist, we do have fun for the whole family at Tedesco Learning Corridor for a lost ladybug project.
So is this a particular ladybug, or like on the 10 most wanted ladybug list, or what is this about?
So there are native ladybugs that we'll be trying to catch, and all the data we collect will be put in a national database. So it's just a great way to get outside, and you'll get a sweep net, and you'll get to go in the tall grass and look for insects. And that is free, and it's fun for the whole family.
That sounds great. Now, we've had a number of rainstorms, and Hickory Park, the lake, for a long period of time was without water, but I would assume by now it's full and there's some activity going on out there. How are the camping and the activities going on at one of the premier reservoirs for our county?
Yes, I'm excited to say that Hickory Grove Park Lake is officially open. We have water going over the spillway, so we have enough water in there. The docks are in, so fishing, kayaking, canoeing, swimming, all of that is open. And if anyone is interested in camping, we do take reservations, and you go to mycountyparks.com.
Okay. Now, you were mentioning earlier before the program started something about some beach closures.
Yes. Well, Hickory Park Lake is open. Unfortunately, since it is so hot, West Peterson Park Beach will be closed, but to provide improvements to the beach and beach access. So we are laying a concrete pathway starting from the parking lot going all the way down to the beach, and then we're also installing a two-tiered beach system. So depending on weather, this could be closed for a week or 2 weeks.
Okay,
so it started yesterday, so it will be closed for at least 1 week.
So those folks may want to migrate over to Hickory. Do we have swimming at Dakins?
We do not. No, Dakins. It's just Hickory Grove Park and West Peterson Park.
Very good. Okay. Is there anything that you'd like to highlight in the last minute or so before we break for our next guest?
Sure. If any family or students are looking for last minute camps, we do have a few openings in our summer skills camps, which are just one day, a few hours, different things you can learn about, such as GPS, or we have a river stomp, archery. So things like that, if you're interested, you can register for camps on mycountyparks.com.
Very good. How do I find out about these activities? If I've got my device, what's your connector, your link? How do we get a hold of you?
Yes. So if anyone would like to follow us, we put all of our information on Facebook, or we do have our website, storycountyconservation.org. That also has a list of our events that we keep updated daily. And also mycountyparks.com is another great one to see if any programs or events are full. And you can also be added to the wait list.
Very good. And the main office is located at McFarland Park. For those folks who are maybe not familiar, you want to take Dayton down to where it comes to the T at the bottom of the hill. What street is that? 180th, 60th?
Yes,
180th. And then you turn right, and you'll see the center right there. And is the center open for normal business hours this time of year?
It is, yes. So we're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. And we have restrooms, a nature center with live animals, miles of hiking trails. So if anyone would like to find out information before they come out, you can give us a call at 515-232-2516.
Okay. And one last thing. The normal park hours, I believe, they're, 10:30 and you close in the evenings?
Yes. So it kind of follows that sunrise to sunset, but all parks are open at 5:30 to about 10 o'clock.
Very good. Okay, thank you, Casey, and we'll be looking forward to visiting with you again next month, the second Tuesday of the month. So we'll tell people to get out there, enjoy our county conservation facilities, and see you on the trail.
Get outside.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can downtown.
Well, we're playing downtown, but before we visit with the downtown folks, Sam Wormley has an important message for our listeners.
Mike, I enjoy listening to syndicated programs on KHOI radio like Democracy Now!, Letters in Politics, and programs from the Planetary Society. Additionally, there are all these programs from people I know, like Mary Richards reading on the community bookshelf, and The Don Alana Show about food and cooking and local agriculture. At Broken Beyond with Michael White and Bob's 8-Track Garage Sale program. These are from people I know, people I love and respect. So why do they do it? Well, it's a lot of work, and they don't get paid. Actually, they produce programs for community radio to give to you, the listener, to give to all of us. Local musicians, artists, folks passionate about life, giving to our local communities and beyond. I give financially. I give as a volunteer because this is radio at its best, and I want KHOI to thrive. Listeners can go to the website, khoifm.org, and press the donate button. Or they can call 515-292-2878, and a friendly volunteer will take you through the steps to contribute to the station, whether volunteer or as a financial supporter. Basic memberships start at $60. That's about $16 a day. But really, give whatever makes you feel good about supporting your local community radio station. Back to you, Mike.
Well, Sam, I think $60 actually works out to 16 cents a day. But if folks want to give $16 a day, we'd be more than happy to accept that. We'd accept any amount that you can easily contribute what your station is worth. Let's leave it at that for now. We're going to join our downtown folks here. And Susan Guiasta is with us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing okay. I think the heat's getting to me, or I don't know, but we played your music just a little early, but you could hear it in the background. So thanks for joining us. We did put out a heat warning, and I'm sure Donald will address that as well. Susan, do you have any announcements for the listeners?
I just have a couple. Today is our first city council meeting of June. It starts at 6 p.m. at City Hall. You can watch it streaming on Facebook and YouTube, or you can watch it off the stream on our website at cityofames.org. A lot of things on the agenda tonight. On our website is always today's agenda and all the supporting materials. We've talked about it before, the materials that the council members get. So if you want to review an item or look at the background, you can get that from our website, cityofames.org/CC meetings, and you can get the latest. And then the other thing is, I know we talk about it a lot at the beginning of the week, as you plan your week ahead, Ames Municipal Band Concert will be on Thursday. That band concert starts at 8 p.m. at the Durham Band Shell at Band Shell Park in downtown Ames. It's a really nice way to spend an evening. It will be a little warm, but they'll be out there playing.
And just a reminder for the folks, they can bring beverages, but non-alcoholic, correct?
I actually don't know about that rule.
I thought that was the rule, but I may be wrong. With the heat, so we do want to have something to sip on.
Can't bring keg beer to parks, but I see a lot of people. Well, you know what? Let's check on that for next week.
That sounds like a very good.
Sure.
That sounds like a good idea. Maybe later in the week we can update that before Thursday band shell.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Sorry that I started a controversial issue here.
Well, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I've definitely seen people enjoy picnics. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it's warm. It's warm out. It's very warm to have a picnic. You know, a lot of people are out there braving the weather. Obviously, like you said, stay hydrated, come inside and cool down if you're getting warm. And please help us conserve energy this week. Today in particular is really a cause of concern because of the temperature and the humidity combined. And so our Ames Electric Services Director, Donald Kamm, is here to talk a little bit about things you can do and why it's important to conserve energy.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Don.
Good morning. So thanks for having me on. So one of the things that happens when we have this hot weather is the electrical system gets a little bit stressed. Now, Ames Electric System is in great shape. We have plenty of energy. But one of the things that we look at is when we set these new peaks, these new peak demands, always happens at hot weather. And the reason why we kind of think about it is it does impact our customers more from a cost standpoint. So when we hit a new peak, we can provide it, but we're close enough that if we hit new peaks, we have to start planning for new generation. And that means big capital expenditures that cause us to build big power plants in the coming years, and we prefer not to do that. Best way to do that is working with our customers and asking them to do just a little bit of conservation. What I mean by that is from the hours of about 2 to 7 today, 2 in the afternoon till about 7, we just ask our customers, maybe don't wash the dishes until after 7 o'clock. Wait to do laundry. I think it's a great day to be outside and grill your hamburgers rather than turning on that hot stove. And please turn up your air conditioner just a couple of degrees. Every little bit helps. And if we don't hit a new peak, I delay having to build that next power plant. And that's really important from a long-term cost standpoint.
Yeah, I think the important thing is if folks are inside, if they even if they just have the fan on, that necessarily the cooling set so low, just having that moving air would really help. And like you say, bump that up a few degrees. Every degree saves not only the consumer funds, but it helps our power situation.
Mike, I did that yesterday. I cranked up that thermostat 3 degrees, and, you know, I was just fine, and I was doing my part.
There you go.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Thank you. And so, again, it's only the hours from about 2 until 7. So ahead of 2 o'clock, wash your dishes. You can wash those clothes. But fans do make a big difference. It uses just a little bit of energy compared to an air conditioner. Mm-hmm. And it saves everybody a lot of money down the road.
Sounds great. Well, so what you're telling us, Don, is that we've got the capacity. It's just we're starting to stress it. Do we foresee any brownout conditions, or are we prepared to forego those?
We are totally prepared. I want to emphasize, no brownouts. We're not shutting off anyone's electricity. We do not see any chance of a brownout today. It's just we're right at that critical point. So we peaked, believe it or not, we peaked back in 2012 at a unit we call megawatts, but we peaked at 130 megawatts. And due to energy rebates and people putting in more efficient air conditioners and equipment, we've been able to prevent hitting a new peak for the last 10 years. And if you can imagine, if I have to spend, say, $50 million on another power plant, delaying that every year, 10 years for sure, I'm sure saves everyone a lot of money on that new infrastructure.
You pointed out the conservation measures that can be taken, but you also hinted to the fact that as people are renovating or perhaps building new, the more energy efficient you can build that structure, the easier it's going to be not only on your energy bill and needs, but on the grid's ability to service the folks. Is that correct?
Yes. With every home that puts in a little bit more insulation, bottom line, it comes down to your bottom line. And that's what's most important. The grid itself, we have plenty of wires right now in and around Ames to serve the customers at all times. We have generators online. We have the plant down in downtown Ames that's continuing to burn refuse-derived fuel and natural gas. And that's on to keep the grid stable and reliable. It's just that I don't want to have to build another big power plant for years to come.
Sounds like a great great idea to me. Now, Don, can you address some of the parts of the grid? For example, some of those pieces like the solar farm that's just on the southern part of Ames. How do those contribute?
Oh, good question. So we do have a solar farm we put in, I want to say, the end of December of 2020. And that's right down there by the airport. As you can imagine, on a day like today, that solar panel is just cranking out the electricity while the sun is shining. So that's been really important to us. We also have under contract about 36 megawatts of wind. Now, normally on a very hot day when the weather is calm or there's no wind and it's just hot and sticky and humid, we don't get much out of our wind. But yesterday, we were probably getting 60% of our wind was working well for us. So we had a bunch of wind coming into the city. We have the power plant, as I mentioned, downtown that provides renewable energy from a standpoint that we're burning garbage rather than burying it and hurting the environment that way. And then the remaining part of our energy, we purchase off of what we call the grid, or the regional electric system. And that could be wind, that could be other power plants in and around the area that happen to be turned on and have excess energy.
Don, I know you were talking about not having to add power plants, but is there future plans to increase the solar capabilities or the wind capabilities? What can we look at down the future as far as more of those non-renewable resources?
Actually, they are renewable. They're not non-renewable. Kind of a double negative there.
Yeah.
Actually, we're looking
testing you.
No, they are renewable. Yeah. But yes, absolutely. As your listeners are aware, we have the Climate Action Plan that staff and City Council have been working on. We are looking at greatly increasing the amount of solar and wind that we have on the grid. The great thing about solar is on days like today, we're going to get a lot of output. That decreases as we get into the evening hours, as you can imagine, because the sun isn't shining overhead. So although it helps us during our peak, it's only at about maybe 30% of its capability when we hit that 6 to 7 o'clock in the evening. So wind is like I mentioned before, something that it's got to be windy for it to work. You need the fuel to make it work. So we are definitely adding more generation of that type. But to meet our peak demand, it's not as what we call dispatchable, or not something that we can turn on and know it's going to run like a fossil fuel plant.
Okay.
So, Mike, I just want to add about our energy portfolio, because we do try to emphasize renewables, and I don't want to be a pessimist, but I think you really need to look at the big picture. When Don talks about 130 megawatts as our peak in 2012, remember that the solar farm is 2 megawatts, and that on a hot day like this, we might be getting, I think Don said, 60% of the energy capacity from that farm. We would have to install a lot of renewables to make up that difference. And so that's the challenge of renewables, is that maybe we can install a 10 megawatt farm or a 20 megawatt farm, but you can't count on that capacity is what you're going to be able to get any given day. So we have a diverse portfolio with lots of different renewables, but we also burn natural gas in our power plant. We burn RDF and we buy off the grid, and we don't know necessarily what's the source of that energy. So it really is, diversity is always a good thing. And particularly in your energy portfolio, for dependability and reliability, it's really critical.
I would, you know, echo that, Susan. It's that old adage, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
Yeah. One last question for Donald, and then I would just give him a minute or two. That is, okay, we're talking about these the energy needs. What are we seeing for as more people are starting to purchase EVs or the hybrids for charging? What is, do you have an idea as far as, are we adding more charging facilities?
Yeah, let me touch on a couple of little pieces there. First of all, from an electric vehicle standpoint, they're good for the environment, obviously. Replacing an internal combustion engine is a very good thing. I think the first question is that going to add to our peak? And it really depends upon when our customers decide to charge. If you get home at 5 o'clock at night, plug in that car, it is going to contribute to our peak and cause us to, again, need to build new generation. So that's an area where we strongly encourage our customers on any day, try to plug it in, or you can plug it in and have it start charging after 7 o'clock at night. So that's important. From a charging standpoint, we just installed a new charger out near Hy-Vee West in the parking lot there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to drive an electric vehicle and want to charge while you're shopping at the mall, that's the place to go, and you can plug in. And again, the energy on the chargers costs no more than it would cost to charge at your own home.
Very good. Any last words, Don?
Just be safe today. Continue to hydrate no matter where you're at. Grill out and maybe go see a movie. I know the movie theaters are air conditioned today.
There you go. Get your mind off of the current topics and cool off.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Susan. And we'll talk to you both again soon.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Sam, you're here and we're going to... Could you hear us talking?
Boy, what I heard was a lot of thunder and maybe even rain.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's another thing to be concerned about with our energy needs, that those storms and the weather that we're facing, Don has some really good points, and I hope folks will try to use their power wisely, conservatively, and charge things or do some of those things on your off-peak hours. But keeping in mind that there could be slight interruptions depending upon what Mother Nature throws at us.
Right, and they need to stay hydrated.
Yeah. So speaking of staying hydrated, that's a way to keep things on track, and a way to hydrate our community radio is please support us. Please send in your financial contributions to keep us on the air, keep us hydrated. Sam, I want to ask you, you are a sustaining member of KHOI, and I know you volunteer like the rest of us here. Why are you a sustaining member, Sam?
Mike, I'm a sustaining member because really the radio, all the programming that comes across on KHOI, it really nourishes me. This is radio at its best. This is people, I'm hearing voices of people that I know. I'm hearing programs, people sharing their passions, local musicians, artists. And, you know, I used to just really love being able to listen to other radio stations back when they were less commercial and all of that sort of thing. And now we have a community radio station that is created by and supported by people from the community. And that's why it's so important for me to support it. So I am a sustaining member. I have the money withdrawn from my bank automatically. I don't have to worry about it. And I know that the station, I'm contributing to that revenue that the station needs to keep operating.
What can you tell our listeners as far as how do they get a hold of us?
Well, there are really two ways other than coming to the station itself, and that is go online and go to khoifm.org. You come up on the website, and you can press that donate button, and it'll take you through the steps to make a donation. Or you can call our phone number, 515-292-2878, and a friendly volunteer will take you through the steps to make your contribution. The basic contributions start at $60. That's $60 per year, winding up about 16 cents a day. But really, you should give whatever makes you feel good about supporting your local community radio station, KHOI.
You know, there are a number of different levels, but like we said, and you just stressed that, whatever you can give, we will certainly accept. It's important to support your community radio station, become a member, listen, and when you do contribute, you can feel good knowing that you're part of the volunteer system, part of the group of folks here in the community that keep this station alive and keep it vibrant. Please.
You know, Mike, if you think about it, it's people from the community giving back to people in the community through radio.
That's a great way to put it, Sam. There's a third way, or another way. You had mentioned coming to the station and actually handing a contribution, but folks, we've relocated, of course, some folks that maybe are just returning from late snowbirds or whatever, but we're now located at 622 Douglas Avenue here in Ames, just a couple blocks north of our previous location. But you can mail in your contribution at KHOI-FM at 622 Douglas Avenue, Ames, Iowa, 50010. So that's another way that folks can support us.
Mike, do you remember those guys that used to talk about cars on the radio?
Oh,
they always talked.
Yeah.
Well, they always talked about $20 bills.
Yeah.
And you could come by the station, go for a walk and come by the station every week and just bring a $20 bill and leave it.
Okay. Are you going to be here to collect it, Sam? That would be a great deal. So.
Well, somebody will probably make a great big clay pot jar for us that people can put their $20 bills in when they stop by.
Okay. Sam, one more time, could you give our listeners those ways to submit their contributions to KHOI?
Right. Mike, other than mailing in the contribution, they can go online to khoifm.org and press the donate button, or they can call the phone number 515-292-2878, and a friendly volunteer will help them.
Thank you, Sam. Mike Murphy, you had an opportunity to witness and be involved in the March for Your Life that was held this weekend.
Well, it wasn't just for my life.
Okay.
It was for all our lives.
That's right.
Yeah, it would have been a nice turnout if there was a couple hundred people showed up to march for Mike Murphy's life, but it was for all of us. And, you know, I'm making light, but it was a serious issue. This is in response to guns. You remember several years ago, after the Parkland shooting, those kids in that high school were incredible in what they were able to organize. They organized a national March for Our Lives event that was replicated throughout the country. I remember being at the one in Kansas City at the time, all youth-led. And so here, you know, in the wake of recent shootings that already are too numerous to name off.
Right.
Young folk organized something here. And the weather was very uncooperative Saturday, and they couldn't decide, are we on, are we off? It turned out that there was a march, and then there was a forum of sorts at Dog-Eared Books, and we played the bulk of that forum. Well, we actually played the entire forum yesterday at 4 o'clock. I think we're going to rebroadcast that tomorrow at 6. But I'd like to play for you. I got a chance to interview State Representative Ross Wilburn, who's also the chair of the Iowa Democratic Party. I got a chance to spend a few minutes with him on the march. And then, so we'll hear that, and then we'll hear some excerpts from the actual forum. So let's go.
Very good.
Representative Ross Wilburn, you're the chair of the Iowa Democratic Party, and you're here out at the March for Our Lives here in Ames. What brings you out here?
I'm out here just to support and uplift all the folks here who are concerned about our safety, all of our safety, and there's no reason that we can't keep each other safe. And many, if not most, NRA members want to have background checks, want to have the ability to intervene, have law enforcement intervene with red flag laws to keep each other safe.
Could you explain what red flag laws are?
Sure. If there's an individual who appears to be harm to themselves or to others, if it's some type of mental health issue or sudden, including suicide, to be able to temporarily stop them from possessing their weapon until they can get an assessment or the help that they need.
What's going on here in Iowa along the gun front?
The Republican legislature and Governor Reynolds, they passed, and she was behind, a constitutional amendment that people will have the ability to vote on this year. They're wanting to make it, I don't want to get into the legalese, but to make it into the Iowa Constitution, the right to own a gun, but to the extent that there basically can be no practical way to ensure gun safety, to not have us to legislate background checks and those sorts of things. We just can't have that. In fact, the Democrats in the House, we tried to modify or amend their effort by adopting the United States Constitution's Second Amendment verbatim, and they're so far right-wing that they voted it down. They didn't want us to have the United States Constitution's Second Amendment included in the Iowa Constitution. So it's the far right of the party. And again, most people, including most NRA members, understand the importance for our community safety to be able to have sensible gun laws and sensible gun ownership.
So how is the Democratic Party dealing with this?
Well, talking to people like you to get this out there in the radio waves, on the internet, neighbor to neighbor, just to let folks, it's important to vote, know on this constitutional amendment.
What do you have for anyone who might be listening on the radio? What advice do you have or message?
Well, the message is simple, that we can have all the motorcycles are going by. We can have responsible gun ownership and safe gun ownership, as well as keep the community safe by voting this constitutional amendment down and enacting not only safe gun laws here, but they need to be done on the federal level, because that's part of a loophole, because the states who do have sensible gun laws, they're not able to intervene in some ways because there are other states who don't, and it's not, there's not a uniform standard, and that's what we need. So people need to contact Senator Grassley, they need to contact Senator Ernst and the Republican delegation, let them know that we need and deserve to have safe communities and safe, sensible gun laws.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Wallin. I've lived in Iowa my whole life, lived in Ames for the past 5.5 years. I'm actually moving next month, but still want to talk, want to be here. So I've got a couple of things. I'm in the Chapman's List Book Club. So we don't trust teachers to pick out curriculum and books, but we trust them to hold guns and protect the kids with their lives. How does that make any sense? And then also, we do have a problem with mental health, but we're not seeing the demographics of all the people suffering from mental health issues. Like, we're not seeing the same proportions of people committing violence across the board for mental health problems. We have a violence problem. We have a white supremacy problem. We have a gun problem. Just don't blame the mentally ill for everything, okay?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ryan Melton, Democratic candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives here in the 4th District. I didn't plan on speaking. I don't have anything prepared, so I just want to make a pretty basic point. My life is not built for a run for Congress. I have a full-time job, 2 kids, and a wife. And But mid-January of this year, it was clear that no one was going to run to be on the Democratic side against Congressman Feenstra. And I thought that was absolutely unconscionable in the age of Trumpism and anti-democracy and the gun violence we're facing today. And so the point I want to make is this. I'm guided every day by MLK's quote, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. The other side is depending on us to give up." There are dozens of races in the state legislature on the Democratic side that are not filled. There is hopelessness, and people are giving up out there. I encourage you, whether it be you, your friends, your family, we need Democrats to run in every race, because as long as we assume that someone else will do it, they're not. I'm the prime example of that. So, number one, we need to keep up the good fight. We need to judge our success not just by laws we pass, which obviously that's very important, but there is so much opposition that we also need to judge our success by the fight we're fighting in the moment, by the relationships we're building, by the example we're setting for our friends, families, neighbors, and kids, because we need to find short-term and midterm goals to sustain ourselves. But I encourage you to remember that MLK quote, because we're going to get there. Because everyone has a kid or a brother or a sister or a family member that at some point is going to go through a tough time in life, and they're going to realize what we're all about. We're people. We're not cogs in a corporate machine. We're not victims of a gun. We're people. That's why MLK's quote is so important. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Because at the end of the day, we're all people. Let's not give up. Thank you.
I did not plan to speak today, so don't expect my speech to be like the best thing you've ever heard. But I'm going to be a junior at Ames High. I'm currently 16. And I've always been scared to go to school. Every single time that there's a mass school shooting, I don't want to go to school the next day. At our school, we don't have a resource officer. We don't have anything to check if someone brings a gun into our school. And that is terrifying to me because I know I could die any day. I could literally die any day. And I would hate to be a parent. That's one of the reasons I do not want children. There's many other. But that is one of the reasons I don't want to be a parent, because I could not deal with the grief and that I would have and the guilt that I would have sending my child off to school that day. Hold on. And the point that the lady made earlier, there are so many steps to get a driver's license. Why should we not have that for guns? Doesn't make any sort of sense to me. And I would also not want children, because raising children in this generation is an amazing thing, but it's a terrible thing. I would be scared for them. I could go to a coffee shop. I could go here. I could go anywhere, and I would think I wouldn't be shot here, but I could, and that's still terrifying to me. We had a gun scare at Ames High this previous year, and I was in intro to business, and I was with my best friend, Maya, and we, a friend texted her and said that someone has a gun at the school, you need to go. So we were whispering, and our teacher silenced us for freaking out. And I thought that that was absurd, because I've never been in that type of position before. And she said, everything's fine, just stop talking about it. Why? Why? And everyone was freaking out. She started to freak out. And we went out of the classroom. There were students all gathered in the main area at the main entrance of the door crying. Yeah, I would be terrified to be a parent. I would be terrified to be a teacher. So we have not come this far just to only come this far. And I think anyone who is able to vote, please vote, because I can't. They can't. Some of them can't. It's, yeah. So just vote. And yeah, that's it.
Next, we have Robin.
Hi, guys. I'm Robin. I use any and all pronouns. 4 or 5 years ago, when the Parkland shooting happened, I can remember how I felt learning about that and how I felt learning that days after there was another one. And I remember being in eighth grade and going to school and talking with my friends at Gilbert Middle School, in a place that was full of so few people that thought like me, that looked like me, that felt like me. And I remember deciding, I'm gonna organize a walkout. And I did. And it was a really beautiful experience, and even if there was only 7 or 8 kids there, that those 7 or 8 kids and I stood out there, we cried together, we had a moment of silence together, and that is a connection that I'll always have with those people. And here I am, 4 or 5 years later, standing here talking about, excuse my language, the same thing. You know, like, it's been way too long. Why am I still having to stand up here after having graduated high school, after having gone through 4 years of education, and still talking to people who are scared to go to school? Why am I going to go to college and continue to be scared to go to school? That's absurd. That's absurd, and it wouldn't happen if we had a few simple things in place. Background checks, mandatory waiting periods. People should not be able to go to gun shows and walk out with a gun. Nobody should be able to do that, regardless of who they are. Nobody should have that opportunity, because nobody should be able to do that. You look in other countries, most Western countries, and you see them, and they don't have anywhere near as many mass shootings as we do. And that is because they have gun control. And the people on the right will say, well, you can still hurt people. People who want to hurt people will hurt people. Yes, but with a knife, you can't spend 30 seconds with your hand on a knife and kill 15 people. You can do that with an AR-15. And you shouldn't be able to. The point of all of these gatherings that we've had over these past years that we'll continue to have, most likely, is so that people don't die. And I feel like these things that the right asks us to do, to arm teachers, to arm the police more, who does that serve? That doesn't serve me. That doesn't serve you guys. That serves the gun manufacturers. Are we trying to serve them? No, we're trying to stay alive. And why are we supposed to give them money to take our lives? Why are we supposed to give them government money meant to spend on us to make our lives better that will end up taking lives? And it's more than just a gun problem, and it's more than a mental health problem. It's like she said earlier, it's a white supremacy problem. It's a problem with capitalism. It's a problem with capitalism-funded money in our government. You know, we need to take back the polls, use your voices to vote. I voted for the first time last week. It was awesome. I was so excited to finally be able to take part in the government that I have sat and watched for so long and been so upset with for so long. And even if my vote is just one vote in a sea of many and my candidate doesn't end up winning, hell, at least I got out there and did it. So you guys should too. It's my take. Thank you.
Pretty strong messages there, Mike. Thank you for providing that. And like you told listeners, we're going to probably rebroadcast that, what, tomorrow at...
At 6 a.m., right before local talk.
Very good. And that'll also be on our archive to hear the entire, what was it, about an hour's length interview.
Yeah, you can go to archive.khoifm.org. And scroll down to Monday, 4 p.m.
Well, and it's that type of community activity that we are all about, community radio, letting you out there know what your community, what your friends, your neighbors, your peers, the citizens here are involved about, our concerns. And Sam, can you just let our listeners know one more time, how can folks support KHOI, keep us on the air?
There are two major ways, Mike. One is to go to our website, khoifm.org, and press the donate button. Or you can call us on the phone, 515-292-2878, and a friendly volunteer will take you through the steps of making a pledge. Basic memberships are $60, $60 a year. That's about 16 cents a day. But you know, you should give whatever makes you feel good about supporting your local community radio station. This is a radio station made up of volunteers from the community serving our listeners, which are our community. It's the community supporting the community.
And again, that phone number is 515-292-2878. And you may have to leave a message, but we will get back to you as soon as we can. We sure appreciate those calls. And like Sam said, you can go to khoifm.org, look for the yellow donate button, and the prompts will take you through a safe and secure and easy way to become a member. Any last words, Sam?
This radio station is made up of volunteers who are doing this because they want to give to you, the listeners. And so it just makes sense that you, the listeners, would want to support a radio station that does that.
Thanks for that message, Sam. Thanks to producer Lynn Carey for her assistance on this morning's program. A tip of the chapeau to Mike Murphy for engineering this morning's local talk. And I want to thank Sam Wormley, our pitch for today, and a dedicated volunteer, dedicated member here at KHOI Community Radio. You heard from Story County Conservation's Casey Stricker and from the City of Ames Public Information Officer Susan Guiazda and Electric Services Director Donald Com. I have been your host, Mike Metz. KHOI provides platforms for our citizen and public officials to air their opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI, your community nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Remember that you can also hear this broadcast online at khoifm.org, and there you can find the links to our guests and information heard during this program. Please consider becoming a member and making KHOI your community radio station with your financial support. This is the push, folks, so please go to our website at khoifm.org, press that yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member. And if you're interested in volunteering for KHOI, you can also contact us at khoifm.org or stop by during normal business hours at 622 Douglas Avenue. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!, followed by All Things Piano at 9 a.m. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for your support. Please remember, 515-292-2878, khoifm.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI, and we'll see you again on the radio.